Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to say thank you for having me here. It's such a blessing and honor just to be a part of church, you know, amen. And, you know, the community and fellowship you guys have here is unmatched. And this is, you know, how I grew up in a church like this. And just to be back in something with a community it's truly a blessing. And don't ever take that for granted, because there's a lot of people out there that don't have a community church like this. It's just commendable to the leadership here and ultimately God and what he is doing here. So I want to thank you for that and for having me here and letting me just be a part of that. But my next thing is I want to ask you to be patient with me today. I am not a pastor. I'm not a preacher, okay? I'm just a kid that loves the Lord, and I'm just here to fellowship with you guys, okay? I learned a while ago that I'm not very good with words. The Lord did not bless me with that, but the thing that he did bless me with is his word, okay? And so today, my goal is not for you to hear anything I say, but rather what his word says and him to speak through his word, because I cannot say anything better or equal to than what this reads, okay? So today might be a little different style than what you're used to because of that, because, I mean, all I have is this, and, I mean, ultimately, that's all we all have, amen? So with that being said, go ahead and flip with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at some scripture to see exactly what God says. We're going to start in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. Yes, ma'am, if we could stand up, I'd appreciate it in reverence for God's word. So I'm just going to read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is really the staple of what we believe as Christians, okay? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through the faith by the works, so that no man can boast. So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for who you are. I just thank you for this opportunity to come here in fellowship and just to be a community and one church with one body and one mind for you, God. I just pray that in this time that you would speak and not my words, and that you would give us all hearts and ears that are open to your word, God. Just continue to work in mighty ways as you've been doing. We love you, God, and give you praise. Amen. So if you've had the blessing of coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know what it's like to be who you were before God, okay? So I want you to kind of think back who you were before you came to know God. Things you used to do, ways you used to act, people you used to hang out with. I want you to think about the old self. We're going to talk about that for a little bit. Because you see, there's a problem with sin, right? There's a biblical problem with sin. God can't be in the presence of sin, amen? So in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." The first step to salvation is realizing that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And there is nothing we can do to ever make up for that. And we see in Romans and here, it talks about in verses 1 through 3, like I said, this is going to be a little different style than what you're used to. We're just kind of going to break it down verse by verse, and we're going to walk through some things, okay? Verses 1 through 3 talks about who we were before God. Okay, the sin we used to live in, the ways, you know, our mindset was different, the ways of life, it's a problem, the sinful nature, okay? So like I said, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. I'm also going to read to you another, I like Bible gymnastics, I think the Bible's pretty cool, so I jump around a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, it says, "Or do you not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Guys, that's all of us. If we would flip to Exodus and look at the Ten Commandments, we have all fallen short of all ten of them. You know, we were talking about the Torah earlier. A lot of the point of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, was to realize that we have fallen short of God's grace and God's mercy, and that we ourselves are the problem. The sin in our life is the problem. And in these verses, we see God makes it very, very clear. Anybody living in that way cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, cannot be in the presence of God. So we have a problem now, right? I mean, this is the gospel. Like, we have a problem. We want to get to God, but we can't because of our sins, right? So all these verses, you know, here in Ephesians, in the 1 Corinthians, and Romans 6, they all have something in common. Well, okay, I guess two things. The first thing being that sin's a problem, right? Like, it's not good. We can't have that. The next thing is there's two words, and they're the two most powerful words for me in the Bible, and that's but God. And all of those verses and sections of Scripture have that. So let's take a look here in Ephesians first. In verse 4 is where it starts. It says, but because of his great love for us, God. Okay, the Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The 1 Corinthians verse, it says, you know, verse 11 hops into, and this is what some of you were, past tense, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the God and the Spirit. But God. We have fallen short time and time again. And I want you to think about how serious sin is to God for a second. It is, someone described it to me once as slapping God across the face. He says, I have a bread of life and living water to give you where you will never hunger or thirst ever again. And yet I look at him time and time again and I say, I don't want that. That's not good enough for me. I want to do what I want to do because my sin pleases my flesh. Despite the fact he gave it all. It says heaven had nothing else to give when it gave Christ Jesus. So every time I sin, I'm putting another burden on Christ. You know, something that, you know, this, I'm not saying there's a verse for this, something that just helps me in my walk. Every time I am faced with a temptation or an opportunity to sin, something that always comes to my mind is if I don't commit this sin, it's one less sin he had to die for on the cross. And that's just something that kind of helps me in that moment. Because when you think about it and actually realize that Jesus Christ was a human. He was a man that walked this earth. This isn't just a story. And sometimes, you know, we grew up in Sunday school. And we were talking about the other day how at some point it has to be deeper than words on a page. This is life. Like these stories are real. Jesus Christ walked this face of the earth and he hung on a cross. And in that moment of my temptation, I like to think that if I don't commit that sin, maybe the thought of the fact that I made the right decision would give Jesus Christ just a hint of relief on the cross. Now, I'm not saying that there's a verse that I'm just saying that helps me in that moment, okay? But I want you to realize that we're the people that nailed him to that cross. We're the person that gave him the 49 lashes, that drove the nails through his feet and his hands. We're the ones that put the crown of thorns on his head every time we sin. And we don't like to think about that, right? That's not fun to think about. We don't like to think about the seriousness of what we do. We don't like to think about the long-term effects. Something with there's a lot of problems with my generation, as you guys I'm sure know. Well, big problem with my generation is the fact we don't like to think about the future. We don't like to think about the fact that a decision I make now is going to have a lasting effect on my life. That's a problem for a lot of people. The sins we have made as soon as we were born into sin have a lasting effect not only on your life but on your eternity. And it is personal to God. But God, we just talked about it, but God loved me anyways, right? He forgave me. So I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here real quick. We just sang a song and it says that I could never earn it and I don't deserve it. Like, can we agree on that? Like, there's nothing I can do to deserve God's love. And there's nothing I can do to earn it. No matter how much good I do, no matter how many times I go to a great church, give so much money, get baptized 13 times, I don't know, right? Like, there's nothing I can do humanly to get saved, correct? Like, it is solely by the grace of God. And as we move through the scriptures, we see that that is the story of the Bible. People fall short, but God loves them anyways. And so we can agree of this everlasting forgiveness, this internal love, right? And as we go about this, we're like, wow. Like you can't appreciate God's love for yourself until you realize how bad of a person you really are, right? I think about that every day. How difficult it is for God to love me. Like I've messed up, you know, this is pretty early in the morning still. Yeah, I'm sure I've sinned a couple times today. Just on the drive down, getting frustrated with someone cutting me off in traffic, right? Someone driving too slow, someone driving too fast, right? There's moments that I've realized how serious it is that God loves me. And I can't earn that. Like, that's powerful. And I don't feel like we take advantage and really appreciate the magnitude of that. But today I really want to emphasize that to you. In that there is nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. Now, we're going to do some Bible gymnastics, and you're going to join me. We're going to go to Colossians, flip two books over to the right. We said go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So now just ruin that for you. You'll remember that forever. Go eat popcorn. We're going to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You're like, yeah, I know that. I have to forgive people, right? The person that cut me off in traffic on the way down, yeah, sure, I might have said some not very nice things in my head, but I didn't say them out loud, right? Like, I mean, the person didn't know I said that. I forgive them, right? Or I heard someone say they were talking bad about me the other day, and that's okay. Like, I'm just going to treat that person a little differently now, right? Like, I forgive them. They came and asked for me. Or I hear this a lot. I'll forgive that person when they come up and ask for forgiveness. I hear that one a lot from kids my age. Like, if they just come in and ask for forgiveness from me, I'll forgive them. Right? We're really good at forgiving little things. And we go through and we're like, yes, I forgive. But I want you to think about a time in your life, we've all been there, that you had to forgive someone for something serious. Someone wronged you, someone cut you deep, stabbed you in the back, whatever. There's a time in your life someone needed forgiving, and like it was a tough time to forgive. I've been there multiple times. I've been that person that needs forgiving when I do something wrong. That's how God looks at us. We wrong him day in and day out. Not only does he forgive me of my sins I committed before I came to know him, he forgives me of the ones, this is the part that really gets me, after. Because now I know better. Now I know better, and I'm aware of how I live my life. He's made it clear how I am supposed to live. And I, if you would look at it, Josh and I were talking about it. I've read it. I know it. I see it. But I don't live it. There's times I fall short. There's times I wrong him, even when I know and I'm in the situation and I know the right thing to do, and I choose the wrong. That is a personal attack on God. That's what people do to us sometimes. They know how to handle a situation. Sometimes they make the wrong decision. There's a situation in your life, a friend, a family member, a past relationship. There's somebody, check this out, maybe yourself, in your life that you need to forgive. We've been there. Might be there right now. But no wonder Christians are called hypocrites. If you think about it, we are. All of us are hypocrites, right? We pray to God. I pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins, but I'm slow to forgive my neighbor, right? How can I come before the Father and say, Lord, forgive me, when I'm not forgiving the person that I'm sitting next to in church, that I could walk by at Walmart? Like, no wonder they call me a hypocrite. No wonder they call me a hypocrite, because I stand up here and I tell you things, and there's people in my life I need to forgive, right? I always say I'm a facilitator of Bible studies. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a facilitator of Bible studies. That's all I do. There's people that sit underneath me, and I hope they realize that I talk to myself more than I talk to them. I've learned more in my years of facilitating Bible studies than I will ever be able to teach. Every time I'm talking to myself. I've been there. You guys have been there. I'm just a kid, right?
I have a lot of life to live. I have a lot of forgiving to do. The Lord has a lot of forgiving in my life to do. But how can I come before Him and say, forgive me if I'm not forgiving my neighbor? And we were talking about, when I was given the opportunity to come here, what do you talk about at this? I've never done this. This is my first time speaking in a church in this setting, right? I don't know what you talk about. When me and Sophie were talking about it, and she was like, I think forgiveness is just something that we struggle with. It's something that we all go through. So in your situation, whatever it is, are you forgiving as the Lord forgave you? And you're going to say, yeah, you don't know my situation. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what they said. You're right, I don't. But I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 6, okay? Here you go, Bible gymnastics again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Now this is scary stuff right here, okay? There's a couple verses in the Bible that kind of make me swallow a little hard. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. If that doesn't emphasize the importance of forgiveness, I don't know what does. I mean, there are things in my life that I have to forgive. And that might be yourself. I don't know your life story. You don't know my life story. I might not ever see some of you guys ever again. I hope that's not true. I hope I can come down and just listen and enjoy your guys' fellowship sometime. But from what I've heard, you guys had a fantastic revival week, and I wish I could have been a part of that. I think there's nothing greater than that, than focusing back in on Christ. But it's a shame that we have to have revivals, amen? Like, why do we have to be relit on fire for God? Why can't we just live that way all the time? You ever wonder that? Like, why can't we have revival every week, right? Well, we don't have time, right? I heard that the other day. Oh, I don't know if I can come to a Bible study or church. I'm not sure I have time. You're not making time, right? Like, God should be our number one priority. So if I can step back and I can say, God loves me and forgives me of everything I've ever done, everything I ever will do. I mean, I'm sitting back thinking about all the times I've sinned, and there's been a lot of people walk this earth. Jesus went through an awful lot on that cross. All the weight of the world on His shoulders. Who am I to live my life for anybody other than Him? Who am I to live my life for myself? Who am I not to forgive somebody when I've been forgiven endlessly? And there's nothing I can do to outrun the love of God. It says nothing can pluck me from His hands. That means not even myself. And I praise the Lord for that, because I try to time and time again when I sin. And He chases after me, right? We just sing in it, but are we living it? We read it, we highlight it, we underline it. I talk about this all the time back in Fairmont. We write, take notes. I love seeing kids take notes. But are we writing it down in our heart? We were talking about the Eastern way of thinking. People in the East, they don't take notes. They don't. If you go to Israel, they do not take notes, because they just memorize it. To them, they don't want it to be words on a page. They want to write it down in their heart. That's their concept. So they just throw pens in the trash. That's powerful. They had the entire Torah memorized. I struggle to memorize 5 or 10 verses a week. They had books memorized. No wonder they can forgive a little bit better than what I can forgive. No wonder I struggle with sin and temptation, because I'm feeding myself the false things of this world. How can I go out and fight a battle if I don't prepare my army? If I don't put on the full armor of God, how can I expect to be in a place of war and do well? At the end of the day, I can't fight it and win. It's only by the grace of God that we're able to do anything. God's already won the battle. I read the end of the book. It's pretty good. He won. Amen? Like, we're good. But it's time we start forgiving people the same way we're forgiven. And America's got to change at some point. The world's got to change. It's headed the wrong direction. We were talking about, college kids, there's a revival happening right now in the age groups between 18 and 26, and it's awesome. Numbers are through the roof. But as we said earlier, the numbers of kids in the church is really low. And as awesome as the revival is at the collegiate level right now, in about 8 years, it's not looking too good. If we don't step up, and men, let's be honest, that starts with us, right? We have to step up. But if we don't step up and do something about the younger generation, or even the generations, the generation 30 to 50 isn't too high either. If we don't start saying something, my pastor says all the time, we're one generation away from the Bible being gone. Here. It doesn't take long for things to disappear. And how unattractive is Christianity whenever we say, Lord, forgive me, but I'm not willing to forgive someone else. So, men, it starts with us. Ephesians 5 says we're called to love as Christ loves the church. That's a big role. That's an important role. That's an endless love forever, no matter what. No matter if someone does you wrong, no matter if someone does you right. A constant love and forgiveness. It's time we rise up and take hold of what's happened. Because for too long, we've been too silent. For too long, we've been complacent and let the world go. And we haven't forgiven people. And we said, we're just going to come sit in our happy little church of 100 people. And we're going to be happy here. And if the world wants to fall apart, we're going to let it fall apart. I've heard that multiple times. I've had that mindset at times. I can't sit back and let that happen. The Lord hasn't come yet. And until he does, I have a calling upon my life, a greater calling, to make sure that the world knows that there is one true living God. And the number one way I can do that, 70% of communication is done non-verbally, is showing the love of God by how I live my life. And the number one way you can do that is to live like Christ lived. The woman at the well, Jesus talks to a prostitute. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but Jesus talks to a prostitute. And he says, go, because I remember your sins no more. Your sins no more. He forgives you despite. I talked about that at worship night the other night. God's love is despite, not because. He doesn't love you because of anything. He loves you despite of everything. And it's time we forgive and love the same way he did, and that is how the world will change. Amen. One person at a time. We have a great president at Fairmont State University. He's a pretty cool guy. He's doing a great job at Fairmont State, and they want to get enrollment up. And they have these cool plans. I'm seeing all these charts. Everything's going up, right? We're leaving 2025. We're going up. And he was, like, talking about how we're going to get enrollment up. And they asked me, how do you think we get enrollment up? Get one person to find two people to come. One person to recruit two. I want you to know this. When the Bible says the word neighbor, you're like, yes, I know that's not the person that lives next to me. We all know that, right? I'm going to tell you this. The definition of the word neighbor is everybody you meet and everybody you have the opportunity to meet. That's everybody that you stand a chance to come across. I've missed out on God's blessing in my life because of my sin. The Lord called me a certain place, and I didn't necessarily follow because of my sin. Those were people I missed out. They were my neighbor. I had an opportunity to go share the gospel with them, and I didn't go because of my sin, my flesh. I hate public speaking. It's like my greatest fear. You probably don't believe it. This is like this, my greatest fear. I hate public speaking, right? It's where the Lord's called me for right now. Why? Because in my weakness is his strength. Amen. I struggle with forgiving people majorly. It's, other than public speaking, probably the next thing I struggle with the most. Why? Because I have the mindset of I don't need you in my life. If you wrong me, okay, cool, I don't need you. Like, I got God, I got my family, I got the outdoors, I'm pretty good. Like, we can move on. I don't need you, right? I sit in a deer stand, I don't need anybody in a deer stand, right? That's just my mindset. So I struggle with that. Someone wrongs me, I can cut them off right now. Christ Jesus doesn't do that anywhere. Amen. It says if we come to him in, I'm trying to remember the reference right now. Cameron. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I can't remember the reference right now. Yeah, I'm just thankful for the fact that he loves me despite, and it's time that I start loving and forgiving people despite. Because there's people that need to see the love of God instead of hear it. Some people are visual learners. I'm a visual learner. So how can I show someone the love of God? The Bible says to forgive them like I'm forgiven, to love them like I'm loved. And men, that starts with us. And until we take action, we can't expect anybody else to move. And I've been there. It's easy to sit back and be like, somebody else will do it. I have that mindset on too many things. Somebody else will do it. You've been saying that for 70 years, and now look where we're at. It's time we're that somebody. And then women, you have a big call in Ephesians 5. I don't know how you guys really pull this one off. You're called to love us like the church is called to love Jesus Christ. You're called to love us like the perfect person, and we're not, right? If I see all of these wives elbowing their husbands here, we're not the perfect person, right? And you're called to love us in that way. That's difficult. But men need women the same way. If we're going to rise up and do all these cool things and lead people, you have to have a support system from God, your wife, and the church. Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus says that's the greatest commandment there is. Forgive as you're forgiven, and love as you're loved. That's the message I have, and I hope that we can take that home and apply that, not this week, but the rest of your life. Because the Bible makes it clear, if I don't forgive, I will not be forgiven. And maybe that's yourself. There's things that we all have to learn to forgive ourselves the same way Christ forgives us. And that's difficult for me. But forgiving other people and showing them the love of God no matter what, even when they don't deserve it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, we ultimately thank you for the fact that you love us despite, and you forgive us despite all the wrongs we have done. And Lord, I just pray that you would teach us and we would learn how to love and forgive people in the same manner. And that we would shine your light no matter where we go, God. And that we would no longer be complacent with where we're at. And we would go shine the light of Christ everywhere we go. Lord, give us ears to hear and words to speak and hearts to love, God. We love you and give you praise. We thank you for what your son did. We can't earn it and we'll never deserve it, God, but we'll always be thankful for it. We love you and give you praise. Amen. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.